jackpot.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
There are millions of small businesses in the UK, but in 2013, only 13,000 of them claimed back the cash that they were entitled to from the government. £46,000 on average, they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 9th of June. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. It's an absolute pleasure now to be joined by our second guest in the studio today, the lovely Kate.
Hello, Paul.
Hello,
good afternoon.
Kate Pinkerton of UK Trade and Industry. Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Can I just correct you, Paul?
Yeah, of course.
It's UK Trade and Investment.
Trade and Investment?
Yeah.
She's an international trade advisor, you know.
Right, okay.
Trade and Investment. A lot of people get it wrong, believe me, but it is UK Trade and Investment.
I'll tell you why.
That's the first thing you've ever got wrong in your life.
No, it's not. It's one of the many things I get wrong every day. It's because once upon a time, there used to be a UK trade and industry board.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think also people will think back to the Department of Trade and Industry.
Exactly.
The DTI.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just carried forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let me do that again.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to welcome Kate Pinkerton of UK Trade and Investment.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Yeah, absolute pleasure for you to see you here, Kate. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about the role that you have with UKTI and where we're going? I mean, UKTI does a lot of stuff and we're going to talk about some elements of that for sure.
Okay, well, I'm a trade advisor, an international trade advisor, which means that my role is to engage with Kent companies and talk to them about what they do and find out whether or not they have any capacity to do that into international markets.
Okay.
So basically, it's about helping companies to export.
Okay. And I want to look at this because I spend an awful lot of my time on political forums and places on the internet where people do not understand business anymore, even if they did in the first place. And one of the fundamental things to tell people is that exports isn't just about manufacturing.
No,
it is about manufacturing, but not entirely. And in fact, we probably export more in services now than we do in goods in any case.
You're right, we do. And I think it is still a huge misconception that to be a successful manufacturer, to be a successful exporter, that you have to be producing a product that goes into a box, that gets loaded onto a pallet, that then goes into containers and gets shipped or flown around the world. And it so isn't true anymore. The landscape of exporting has changed fundamentally.
Absolutely.
And actually, the majority of exports, turnover in exports in the UK now, is from service companies. Mm. So it was interesting to hear Claire say that she has clients in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Claire,
she's
is
an exporter.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And there will be a lot of companies or individuals, entrepreneurs out there thinking, no, I'm not, I can't possibly do that. Mm. And actually, yes, you can.
Marmalade, big seller in Japan and the Saudi.
Marmalade. Trust her to know that. Huh? Marmalade.
It's a huge export, marmalade.
But Jules has actually hit on something really quite crucial, because marmalade is a fundamentally British product.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that people underestimate. It's
Peruvian. Was it?
No, that's Paddington.
That's Paddington Bear. Didn't he live on marmalade sandwiches? Oh, sorry.
And Scotch,
once he got to London.
Yeah.
Scotch whiskey, shortbread biscuits, Oxo.
Romney Marsh Tweed.
Yes.
New one, that is.
Another one.
Yeah.
Mm.
And people do underestimate the power of being British, having a British service or British quality or British design, British products.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I do want to emphasise, because a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, are actually service businesses these days.
Indeed.
And a lot of people just don't even remotely think about this because they think, well, I'm not a manufacturer. Export's nothing to do with me.
Mm. Or they're designing a product but having it made somewhere else.
Absolutely.
But if they're investing in the UK, if they're bringing content into the UK economy, then they are indeed exporting.
Absolutely. I need to tell you this, and I don't want to kind of dominate this from my side of it, but the fact is, we did an event recently, and basically we were talking about where things are going in the economy, and there were a couple of manufacturing businesses there, and they were small manufacturing businesses, and they basically said that their smallness has enabled them to bring back manufacturing to the UK, but export most of their products.
Yes.
And one of them, Steve Plumridge from Cantium Scientific in Dartford, was saying nowadays he builds all of his products in Chatham and exports most of them to China.
Yes.
And you see that happening an awful lot more now, where we've bought back from overseas and from outsourcing manufacturing here because it's actually cheaper to manufacture here now and then export abroad.
That's right. There's a lot of onshoring going on, and that's not an isolated case. I come across, and particularly the more traditional or the tech manufacturing companies, that a lot of the traditional ones that went out to China because of the cheaper labour, actually because of problems that they've had, are bringing it back either to Europe or into the UK.
It's a
really good point. But the challenge for UK trade and investment is getting people to know that we're here and what we do. There is a YouTube clip, if anybody's interested in seeing it, that it starts off by saying, introducing UKTI is one of Britain's biggest secrets, because people genuinely don't know that UKTI is there. We're part of the government, but international trade advisors are all people with hands-on experience. My personal background is all in export management, and then they come into UKTI to share that experience with companies that don't have any experience of exporting, and we're really just a helping hand, helping people to investigate what the opportunities are for their businesses overseas, and then if there are opportunities for them, then how they can actually capitalise on that and exploit those opportunities and grow their business with overseas sales.
Absolutely, absolutely. So from your point of view, in your role, you've got a role of educating people that they can even do this and they might want to do it and stuff like that. How about helping them through the process? What happens?
Well, each case is very different, and the way that I approach the job is the best thing for us is to come and have a chat with somebody if they're interested, tell them a little bit about what UKTI can help with, but actually more fundamentally to find out about their business. So then we can start thinking, okay, are you exportable? Are you substantial enough to be exportable? Because it's a bit like there's a saying, a puppy is not for Christmas, it's for life. And exporting is very much the same. It takes a lot of time and an investment. You do have to think very seriously about it, because you don't want to undermine what you've achieved in the UK.
Absolutely.
But then if you are serious about it and you can organise yourself in a strategic way to take advantage of overseas opportunities, then the world can literally be your oyster.
Absolutely.
But UKTI is there to help you to
There's another
identify
one.
That.
Oysters from Whitstable.
You're not going to escape food and drink with Jules. No. It's just life. No, you're absolutely right. And I do like what you said as well there, that sometimes people can attack things without really being prepared. Mm. And you see that most of all in all kinds of businesses, for instance, that try and attack the US market without any idea of how difficult that is.
Absolutely.
They think because it's an English speaking marketplace with very similar laws and it's going to be a doddle. Mm. And even big corporations fail big time in the US.
Yes, they do, because really you should be approaching the US as if it is many different nations within one, which actually that is what it is. It's like Europe. Europe is a confederation of different nations. The United States is the same.
Absolutely.
So if you want to, if you think you have market opportunities in the US, you have to be much more precise about where. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, where and why.
Absolutely, because each state has their own federal taxes and stuff.
The answers to those questions, can UKTI can help you to find the answers to those questions. And I think that's what we're here for. We're here to advise you, now identify whether or not you are exportable, and then if you are, advise you how you can go about doing it. And the landscape of exporting has changed so much in the last, even the last decade, and much smaller. Perhaps before we would have only talking to a traditional business of a certain size and turnover. Whereas today, I've got clients who are making product, designing product in their own homes, having them manufactured somewhere, and then exporting them.
Right.
Because the internet has opened up different sales channels.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now there are much smaller and entrepreneurs who can, as you know, just one-man bands almost, startups, who can have a successful export market.
Yeah, I mean, you can sell through eBay or Etsy or something like that if you really want to. Absolutely.
Yeah. And e-commerce has really, really opened up the world to much smaller companies.
Absolutely. In fact, I know someone not a million miles from here that's just about to launch a business, which is an online-based business, where they are teaching and selling teaching resources for furniture upholstery. You know, a traditional craft-based thing that they used to do as a hobby. And they're you know, going to sell that globally.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. But really, the beauty of having a relationship with an international trade advisor from UKTI is that you're not on your own in approaching that and trying to diversify and sell into different markets. Your trade advisor is there to help you along the way, help you answer some of the strategic questions that you'll have, find out market research, different training courses that you can go
on. Sorry to interrupt, Greg, I was going to ask you about that because that's a thing that interests me as well. For a small business that doesn't really know much about exporting and overseas markets, how do you even start? You know, what do you think? You know, God, I'd really like to flog my stuff in Turkey because I went there on holiday once and it was really nice. I mean, what's the starting point? Is it basically to talk to you guys and go, look, this is my product. Where can I sell it?
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. The starting point is make it personal. Yeah. Get an international, talk to an international trade advisor, and you can find out where your local one is by going to the UKTI website, which is www.gov.uk/UKTI.
We've got a link to that on the website as well. Yeah.
That will take you to a hub team, an office-based team, who will find out where you're based and tell you who your local trade advisor is. Here in Kent, we're a six-strong team. I'm based in Tunbridge Wells. I've got colleagues throughout Kent, and we are here to talk to local businesses and advise them about how they can export successfully.
Fantastic. And it's really good. I mean, and what have you got to lose? You've just got to talk to someone.
Absolutely. Most of these programs are free.
Absolutely.
There's no charge for an ITA's time.
Yeah.
There is no charge for most of the programs. There are some charges if you want UKTI to do market research on your behalf, because we're not just UK-centric. There are UKTI representatives in all the embassies, the consulates, and high commissions around the world, and their purpose is to help UK companies be successful in their local market.
Absolutely, which is how you get the information about what works where.
That's right.
Absolutely. You know, because somebody comes from the embassy in Japan and says, you know, they're all mad for marmalade over here. Get it over here quickly, thick cut, please.
Well, I was just thinking of Alistair Jessel with his Tailwell ice cream.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
He has a big export market, doesn't he, in Japan.
Yeah.
Which I think, and it's Alistair wouldn't mind me saying, so that UKTI has helped him a great deal, and he's a huge advocate for UKTI services, and I'm very grateful that he does promote that.
Are there grants available?
There are some grants available. We can help companies with travel costs, with exhibition costs, the market research that I mentioned that is subsidised. So there are lots of opportunities out there.
Do you also run, I can't think of the term now, but trade missions. They used to be called years ago.
No, they're still called trade missions.
Are they really?
Yeah. There's something about government that does never change.
Yeah.
What is a trade mission?
Okay,
well, you all dress up as vicar. No.
A trade mission, and there's a whole spectrum of trade missions. So it could be a very high profile one where last year I think David Cameron, the Prime Minister, went to China, and you see on the television, on the news, that the headline story about that. But behind the scenes, there will be UKTI people organising, coordinating all that, and there'll be a group of British companies that have gone there as part of that group. So they have organised events, but also they can set up their own schedule of meetings with companies that they're interested in talking to. They're not all as high profile as that. There won't always be a minister, but these are regular visits and trips that are happening, that we take groups of British companies, sometimes from a particular sector, such as
food,
health sciences, food. Actually, yes, you mentioned food. At the moment, the World Expo is happening in Milan. This is something that it's a huge trade fair that goes around the world. So we've had it in Glasgow, in London in the past, and this year it's in Milan. And the first week, we call them great weeks. Each week will have a different focus. The first one was food and drink. So it was innovation in food and drink, which was hugely successful. And we took a group of food and drink companies over to Milan. That's a mission. Wow. We also have inward missions where we bring in the experts from around the world. So the UKTI head of trade in Dubai. Actually, on Thursday, I'm going to an inward mission event, which is bringing the Middle East to the UK. So it's a Gulf inward mission to the UK. So the head of trade from Saudi Arabia, from Dubai, from Qatar. And I'm taking two of my companies that I'm working with up there, and they will have presentations, and then they have the opportunity to have one-to-one meetings with key people from those markets at very little expense.
Fantastic.
Well, it reminds me of Natalia Sukram at Canterbury City Council, and I used to do some work for them, and they were taking cheesemakers from Kent over to France selling their cheese very successfully there.
Absolutely. Yes.
Again, another fascinating topic. Sadly, we run out of time now, but a fascinating topic. Thank you for sharing that with us, Kate.
My pleasure. Somebody
keeps trying to ring in, but we haven't got time for that. Give us a shout for how people get in touch with you and find out more about what you do.
Okay, again, by visiting our website, which is www.gov.uk/UKTI. Really, that's the best way to go, because you need to get your local advisor to you. So it's pointless contacting me directly. Best to go through the central number. There's a central number on there, and that's the best way to find who your local trade advisor is, who quite happily come on and have a chat with you and find out how we can help.
Fantastic. Kate, thank you so much for that. That's Kate Pinkerton of the UK Trade and Investment Organisation. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show. Absolute pleasure to hear from you. Do you know what we're going to do now, Jules? We're going to play the last of our two interviews from Kent 2020 Live, and then we're going to talk to the lovely Hillary.
Yes, we will. She's been waiting patiently in the corner doodling even.
Absolutely. I'm not surprised. We're going to hear, first of all, from Two Little Princesses.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. And then we're going to hear from Pierre Hancor. And Pierre runs Credit Limits International. A credit checking company. So do have a listen to this.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Gorgeous ladies that have just joined us on the radio station. I'm joined by the lovely Miley Wood, who is the mini princess of Europe. And I'm also joined by the equally gorgeous Lee Sindon, who is the face of the UK. And they're with Sonia Wood of EcoSound Services. Ladies, what a gorgeous set of ladies we have here. So let's start with Lee. Lee, tell us a little bit about the role that you've got, how you got it, and what you've been involved in.
Okay, so I started off, I entered a heat called Face of England, and I won that, and then I went on to the final, which was held in Disneyland Paris, and competed against all different girls around the world to win Face of the World. And I came third, and I came away with the title as Face of the UK.
Fantastic. What a fantastic achievement. You have an absolutely gorgeous face, of course, you know. Where are you from, Lee?
I'm from Romney Marsh.
Oh, where? Yeah. We're on Burmarsh, and the radio station is on the marsh. Yeah, so you're
close then.
Yeah, neighbours. So, when did you win your major prize?
Won it in November last year.
Okay, so you're kind of halfway through that term. Is it something that lasts for a year?
Yeah, just a year, yeah. Okay. So, and then I hand it over in November again.
Okay, fine. And what have you been involved in? What have you been doing since you won the award?
Been doing a lot of charity work. We raised a lot of money for Headway. And I've also been doing a lot for the Pilkins Hospice as well.
Okay, so Headway, that's the head injuries charity, is it not?
Yeah, that's the one that Face of the World sponsor. So it's a brain injury association.
Fantastic. And Pilgrims Hospice are a hospice organisation. So you've been doing loads of work for them. Is this mainly around Kent, or where does...
Just mainly around Kent, yeah. Okay. Just in my spare time.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm absolutely loving it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So you're pleased you did it and you went
into it? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's given me a lot of confidence, and same with Miley. It's given her and her sister, Sophia, a lot of confidence as well. So it's really nice to see girls that... getting more confident and be able to do stuff like this and just talk to anyone, and it's really lovely.
Absolutely. Lee, thank you for joining us. Let's
thank
talk
you.
To young Miley now. Hello, Miley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And how old are you, Miley?
I'm 7 years old.
You're 7 years old, and wow, what a gorgeous girl you are. So you're mini princess of Europe.
Yeah.
Wow, how did you win that?
I won it by doing Face of the World. And we've been doing lots of events,
right,
doing Face of the World, and I won the sash.
I'm not surprised you won the sash. It's very well deserved. Did you win at the same time as Lee? Did you win in November?
Yes.
So you've been doing these things around Kent as well. Have you been working with Lee on this, Headway and Pilgrims Hospice?
Yes.
Do you enjoy it? Do you like going for it? You've got a lovely outfit as well. Listen, she's got a gorgeous tiara with purple stones, gemstones sat in it, and a fabulous chiffon dress, and her sash, which claims that she's the mini princess of Europe, the face of Europe and of the world. Wow. And you've got a badge there as well. I can't see what that is. What's your badge?
It's this badge. It's a little alien. Stitch.
Wow. Where's he from?
He's from Disney.
Ah, okay. Fantastic. So, are you enjoying your time?
Yes. I've also enjoyed going to Disneyland Paris and doing lots of other things there.
So you... Hold on a minute. We need to find out about this. You've been to Disneyland Paris as princess. Yeah? And you... It was that part of the prize that you won. So you won a trip to Disneyland Paris?
Yes.
And when did you go there?
I went in November.
Did you? Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
What was your favourite bit?
My favourite bit was when everyone got a photo all together, and there was another favourite part that I liked, and it was when I went on all the rides.
Ah, okay. So there's loads and loads of rides. Do you have a favourite ride? Is it? Oh, I don't know. It's a Small World.
No,
Pirates of the
Caribbean. The Slinky Dog Ride.
The Slinky Dog Ride. I haven't seen that. I haven't been to Disneyland for a while. Is it good? What does it do?
So basically, it goes up, then it turns round and it goes down.
Right.
Then it does it again and again and again.
Don't you get sick?
No, but it makes your tummy turn a lot.
Oh, does it?
It's really fun playing on it.
So it makes your tummy turn a lot. Oh, I bet it does.
I had a delicious waffle in Paris.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So you've had a lovely time doing this so far, and you're really pleased to do it. Do you think you'd do it again?
Yes.
Do you think when you're grown up like Lee that you'd do the same competition as Lee? Do you? Yeah, I think you'd be brilliant at that. Do you think she'd be brilliant at that?
Yeah, she definitely would.
Yeah, absolutely. Miley, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Big thank you to Mum as well, Sonia. Thank you. And Lee, thank you so much
for joining us by Mr. Pierre Hancourt, who is the Managing Director of Credit Limits International. Pierre.
Hello, Paul.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker at Kent 2020 Live. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what Credit Limits International do?
Well, Credit Limits International is a debt collection agency.
Right.
We're based in Faversham.
Okay.
Been going for 6 years. We're a specialist of cross-border debt recovery. At least that's where we started over 20 years ago.
When you say cross-border, and I don't want to be presumptuous, you have a slight accent that would indicate that you're French or Belgian or from one of those countries? No?
No, I don't have an accent.
Do you not?
What are you saying? Yeah. I've been here for 25 years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yes, I do have a lot of French clients, but also British clients and others from in Europe and beyond.
The point I was going to try and get at is, did you start your business in France or did you start your business here? That cross-border element of it is interesting.
Yeah, no, it all started here, but, you know, being French abroad, that was a good little niche to tap into initially.
Absolutely. And presumably you've broadened out from there and it's not just cross-border credit control you do now.
No, I think now we're fast-growing in Kent to serve the local businesses here. And we're taking our place in the local business community by exhibiting here. We're showing that we are keen to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, as a businessman myself, I know how important cash flow management is. It's one of the things that so many businesses, especially small and medium-sized businesses, struggle with, is their cash flow implications. It's really difficult, isn't it? You guys working in credit control, could you give us an overview, Pierre, of the kind of things you do and how you work? Because for a lot of us in business, it's really difficult for us to get our clients to pay us without annoying our clients, if you see what I mean. So can you tell us, give us a feel for how you work and how you do it and how you represent us when you're trying to claim the money that we're owed?
Yes, of course, yes, the emotions, you know, this is what you're trying to remove when you're using a third-party collection agency. But we can really intervene at any stage of the credit control cycle.
Yeah.
You've got some really company, for example, web-based with very little light admin departments who would outsource all of the functions to us.
Right.
We can just do some tracing. You've lost touch with your customers.
Yeah.
You want to find them again.
Okay.
There might be a sole trader. They've closed their shop. We see where they live. We get them to pay as they can. Or we can even take the case through the courts, and we do some of it in-house. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a team of lawyers, a panel of lawyers, that will manage to collect through the courts in all the UK jurisdictions and beyond, of course.
Absolutely. Because, of course, a lot of credit control is not bad, is it? It's not that the client's not going to pay you. It's just that you haven't invoiced properly, they didn't receive the invoice, or, you know, it got lost somewhere. And credit control is about staying on top of that. And so many small businesses don't do that very well.
90% of the time, we resolve queries, we take the emotion out of the business transaction, and we get people to come back, find an agreement, and then draw a line on the past and start doing business again. And we have to handle it this way because it is so difficult just to get customers nowadays that you're in for the long term. So most of what our customers want is to have their clients back in one piece at the end of the collection
process. Absolutely. And it's about managing your cash flow, as I said up front, isn't it? And that's effectively what we're aiming to do here.
We're working with, not yet with Rift actually, but we are working on a partnership with Rift to do just that. They're noticing that at year end they're finding a lot of their customers haven't got their books in order, have got too much cash out, and they're going to see the bank for more overdraft as opposed to trying to collect their cash in quicker.
Absolutely, I mean, because there is this whole issue about payment terms, isn't there? That we put out payment terms, but again, a lot of businesses don't enforce that. They have payment terms, but they don't even bother to try and collect within the terms.
No, and they should now. There's even a prompt payment code that's adopted by the CICM, which is the Chartered Institute of Credit Management, which we've signed up to, which we encourage all the businesses to sign up to. This is just, you know, respecting your suppliers and saying, look, if you do me a good service, I'm going to pay you on time, and if and the business can carry on, because, you know, if I want you to carry on serving me, I want to give you some blood.
Absolutely. It's reciprocal, isn't it? If we all did this, then things work properly. The minute that somebody delays, it causes a problem for somebody else. It means they can't pay their suppliers, and then you get this domino effect.
Yeah, and quite frankly, we are in this business to promote good practice and good payment practice. Yeah. There will always be a little percentage at the bottom where people just won't pay for one reason or another.
Sure.
And we will leave out of that, you know, few percent of debts that will not get paid, whatever you do internally. So there is a stage also at which you need to take that ladder and go step by step, and, you know, get towards the payment by using all the tools in the box.
Absolutely. Fantastic explanation of it, Pierre. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. If people want to find out about your business, do you have a website that they can come to?
I do, yes. It's creditlimitsinternational.com.
Fantastic. creditlimitsinternational.com. Have a look at Pierre's website. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker, Pierre. Enjoy the rest of your day.
With the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 9th. And that was the final series of week four of interviews from Kent 2020. And we've got week five and the last set next week. And that was the Little Princesses, Miley and Lee, and Pierre Harncourt of Credit International. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure now to be joined on the studio, in the studio, on the radio, by the lovely, gorgeous Hilary Steele.
Aww.
Hello, Hilary.
Lady in red.
The lady in red. Mm. For those of you that don't know, and there can't be anyone out there that doesn't know Hilary, serial businesswoman entrepreneur, editor of the Kent Women in Business magazine, and multiple awards for Kent Women in Business and Health and Beauty Awards, but also the organiser and event manager and creator of Kent Independent Traders Awards, which is really kind of what we're going to talk about mostly today. We can talk about lots of things. Hilary, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you here. Why don't you tell the listeners a bit about Keta and what it's about and where you are and what's happening with it?
All the wonderful things you've just described me as being involved in, it actually began 4 years ago now with the first Keta launch. And I decided with my business partner, Sue Smith. Hello, Sue. I know she's joined the other listener.
Hello, Sue. We've just doubled our listener count.
I ran up the stairs at the office and I said, we need to do an award ceremony to support independent businesses.
Absolutely.
And we were discussing not long ago where that idea came from. And I had a feeling that everywhere I looked in the media and online, etc., I saw a lot of promotions for big businesses that had marketing budgets, advertising budgets, PR budgets. And yet there was a lot of stuff going on around the county that wasn't being recognised. Mm. So we started it, and we started this whole venture with £10.
Wow.
And the first award ceremony was held in September 2012.
I was there.
I know you were. Mm. You presented an award as well, didn't
I did,
you?
Didn't
yeah.
I? Yeah.
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 And it's gone on from there because that was actually held in the Royal Star Shopping Centre.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a
In the middle of the mall.
In the middle of it, yeah. Yeah. It was a good test to see whether there was actually a desire for this kind of event.
Yeah. But I don't want to interrupt, but that is something I really, one of the many things I really like about you, Hilary, though, is when you do something like that, you also do it with a bit of style and a bit of something different about
pizzazz.
You. Yeah, well, no, it wasn't that. I mean, who would think about holding an awards ceremony on the concourse of a shopping mall? Yeah, but it really worked. It really was
that
cool.
That bandstand staircase. The staircase did actually help. But what transpired from that event was that there was a need for this, and I noticed that people were connecting. And some businesses, I mentioned to you when we were off air, there is for some businesses that may have been that year turning over 30,000, 40,000 a year. you know, in the next year, year and a half, they could be heading up more towards the quarter of a million type.
Sure.
And beyond.
Yeah.
And knowing that we've had a hand in connecting people and encouraging them to collaborate and join forces, one, to increase buying power, also for motivation, because being in business for yourself can be quite lonely.
Absolutely.
Which is why I got myself a business partner. I went to the business partner shop. I can't do it all on my own.
I'll have one of those.
Wrap her up,
I'll take her away.
I want that one.
Yeah.
So working together, we were finding ourselves extremely resourceful with the skills that we had transferred from other areas of our life.
Mm.
We were then able to help other businesses by training and development, increase their skills and improve their skills.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing for me is the motivating factor. To win an award, I don't know, I've never won one, but to win an award.
Let's nominate her for one. Yeah.
Her own.
To win an award has had such a massive impact on these people's lives and their businesses. And I think, you know, to see an email where someone told me that they won a contract, quite a big contract, because their email signature had Kitta 2012 winner.
Mm.
And that was the deciding factor of the customer that chose him over a competitor.
Yep.
The publicity that comes with winning an award is also invaluable because it's free.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if we don't know that you're out there doing these great things, how can we maybe use your services, buy into what you're selling, etc.? It's very difficult to if we don't know about you.
Absolutely. The recognition of your peers and your customers is a really powerful thing. And it's also a great motivator as well, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you win an award, even if you don't win, even if you're one of the nominated finalists, it's a really proud moment where you think, you know, people are taking notice of my business. It's not just little old me, you know, people out there realise what I'm doing.
To get finalist status in any of the award ceremonies that we've held, it's normally around about, I guess, the 50% of actual entries. Mm. You know, to get to that stage, some of the categories have over 40, 50, 60 entries.
Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you have judged.
You are a judge. Yes.
I've been a judge, and there is nothing meagre about the judging process, let me tell you. It is a very exhaustive process, yeah.
It's I think the way that we do it is that we're bringing out not so much necessarily the financials of where a company is, but where they can potentially go.
Yeah.
When we're looking through the application forms, we're also thinking of, you know, who can we put them in touch with? Like, we've got guests here today as well.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
Who can we put them in touch with to then further their business development?
Absolutely.
Or they might not realise they're missing something. And another great thing about entering an award, and I've had this said back to me a couple of times, is that filling in the application form makes you see and have a look at your business from a different perspective.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're looking at things, and sometimes you might come across something, actually, if I just tweak that slightly, I could improve that. Now, who doesn't want to improve their bottom line?
Mm. Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it's about. I mean, no one goes into business to fail, do they?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's quite an interesting exercise overall.
I think that is actually a very powerful message as well, Hilary. It is. For micro and small businesses as well that don't normally engage in strategic thinking, you know, because they're too busy doing, that discipline of filling out the quite comprehensive forms is actually really useful, because it does really make you think about your strategy. You know, you ask the kind of questions that you ask, you know, what do you do in a community? Well, that's a good point. What do I actually do in the community? And so on. No, I love that. Yeah.
We lead the questions in a way to get the motivation and what gave you that desire to start up in business for yourself in the first place, because somewhere down the line that can be lost.
Yep, absolutely.
And if we can help you focus back on the why and then improve your skill sets, transferable skills along the way, then you're living your life now in the why that motivated you to start in the first place. And in my world, it's okay to have fun in business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we work very hard, but we also like to enjoy ourselves. And if we can collaborate...
Well, not too hard. I don't try too hard.
No, okay. But if we can enjoy ourselves as well, you know, we spend a lot of time at work.
Yeah.
And I don't think business needs to be as hard as people say it is.
Hmm.
For example, one business guy told me that he, when the recession hit, about 2009, he said, well, first thing I'm doing is slashing my marketing budget. I said, that's great. No one will know you're here. That was my, like, a consultant there, wasn't it? But that was it, you know. There are ways now, and we've talked about this in other areas, the advancement of technology. Mm. You know, we all have access. It's an even playing field. The small guys, like you were saying about the manufacturing, the small guys have a chance to compete with the bigger guys because of this levelling platform of social media and the internet, which is, it's very exciting, because I know we've had discussions that the world of business, we're in a massive change at the moment.
Mm.
And when you're aware of what's happening and you're seeing it unfold, it's actually so exciting.
Absolutely.
It really is exciting, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it, and also to be orchestrating some of those changes for people, which is,
Yeah, absolutely. There are now nearly 80,000 small businesses in Kent.
Wow.
Nearly 80,000 small businesses in Kent. And we're founding businesses a huge rate, but not only are we founding businesses, they're staying in business longer as well, which was always something that that's one of the reasons for growth at the moment. It's one of the key drivers of growth. Somebody ought to tell the politicians, because they've got no idea why. But this is why. Basically what it is more and more people are founding their own business, but they're actually staying in business longer. What used to happen is the rate of startups was almost balanced by the rate of failures. Now, thank goodness, people aren't failing as often as they were.
Also, when you get to a certain age, you become unemployable almost. You know, when you're 50, 55, 56, much, much harder.
12
so
in your case.
A lot of people start up their own businesses for that very reason and do really, really well.
Yeah, but it is, you know, there is a lot of talk about this, that people are forced into self-employment, and that's just nonsense.
Well,
as
they choose to.
It's a choice, because there are plenty of paid jobs about. Absolutely. In fact, we have a massive skill shortage, which is one of the things we're talking about at Ebbsfleet, because the whole promotion of Ebbsfleet was it's going to generate jobs, and then everybody said, well, hold on a minute, we can't fill the ones we got. Where are we going to get the people to do these jobs?
I think in the experience of talking to the businesses I speak to, that there are the people coming for the jobs, but they don't necessarily have the attitude or skills in some cases. To get out of bed and get there and do something that might be a little bit difficult in the first couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
One thing I've noticed is someone that when we started out hadn't even thought of starting a business may have last year entered the startup category. They're still going. There's someone in particular I'm thinking of, but they're actually looking to overtake their wildest dreams of their initial projections.
Yeah.
I mean, the next awards ceremony is going to take place in September this year, and we've chosen another cute, unique venue, which is Christie's Hall in Maidstone, which is now being reconverted back to the beautiful building it is, from offices. Now, this is independently owned, so this is also where we're holding the launch next Wednesday.
Yep.
And this is the Federation of Small Businesses have been fundamental in helping this, in aiding this award. It's going to beat the others in the sense that the support and after sport and after care, I suppose, if you like, of the nominees is going to be a lot more intense.
Right.
And getting the backing of a major organisation like the FSB, for me running up those stairs a couple of years ago saying, we need to do something to celebrate independent businesses, and seeing that come together, also with a company like Rift Accounting, seeing all that come together from that £10 that we invested to start,
absolutely,
almost makes me have a moment.
Absolutely. And it's worth a moment, isn't it?
It
is worth a moment, because you're absolutely right, Hilary. You know, it's one of those things that has changed about the landscape in Kent, especially. I'm sure it's the same elsewhere, but we kind of operate in Kent. We have a community. The small business community is a community. We talk to each other. We try to support each other. We try to help each other, because we realise that's important for all of us. And things like Keita and some of the other awards you run that give people recognition and give people the motivation to do things as well. As you say, you know, one of the beauties is that a lot of people enter the startup awards, and a year down the line, they've got running businesses, and they're now entering the next level of awards, which is fantastic.
It is amazing, and it's wonderful to be a part of it, because I don't get involved in the judging. I do look through the forms after it's all done and dusted. I can't be bribed, which is really unfortunate, because when you think I do health and beauty and all these other things, I could be looking about 25 again or something. But, you know, I'm in a very privileged position, the outlook of business that I have. But what is great is that, like you're saying, we have a community, and I think we have a community that really has a heartbeat.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think anything in life that's done through the heart is exceptional quality.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And the whole Keita thing, this is the third year, isn't it?
Fourth year.
The fourth year. It's just grown and grown and grown. It's got more and more at the centre of business and what's going on. And it's people really do want to win. They
really do want to win, which is why I can't be bribed. I had to reiterate that.
Yeah. Hilary Blatter. absolutely. It's a fascinating thing that you're doing. It's great. Tell us, you've got the launch event at Corpus Christi Hall down on Fair Meadow,
on
in Maidstone, on the 17th of
June next week.
Yep. Yeah. I'm coming to that.
I know you are.
So do come along to that, yeah. And then the actual ceremony itself is in September?
It's going to take place on the 17th of September, which will be a black tie event at the same location.
Wow, okay.
So we're keeping that within an independent...
They wear black tie outlet. And nothing else?
You can wear whatever you like.
Sounds perfect.
I'm gobsmacked.
Only twice in 6 years have I made him open his mouth and close it.
I'm just thinking, oh no, mind bleach. I need mind bleach now.
The categories are different this year as well.
Are they?
We've every year, because in a way for us it is a business project, every year we've taken feedback from the previous year and adapted and tweaked, etc. And our own experience within the awards industry, I guess you say, has grown. So this year we're looking, for example, one of the biggest industries that is in growth area, creative.
Right.
But what does that mean? So we can't have creative, someone doing something with like digital design. You know, we've had a winner who, CJ Munn, the Rockabilly Life casts. Mm. It's completely different. So now we split that because it needs to reach out to a much broader...
So what is creative?
Exactly. So we're looking at maybe digital and non-digital. So these are in discussion, but they will be formalised by next
Wednesday.
But
then you would look at something like Sally for Cakes. I mean, her cakes, for example, she's a winner, wasn't she?
She's a winner of Equipment, winner of business.
I staggered up on the stage and took her award.
Yes.
And everybody went, wow, Jules, you've won it. No, it's not mine. But her cakes are works
stunning.
Of art.
Absolutely stunning. So you've got a big broad spectrum, and that's really having a boost to the economy, this whole word creative that some people almost diss. It shouldn't be, because there's real value to the economy for that.
Absolutely. In fact, and Kent is a hotbed of that. I was past chairman of Creative Kent, actually, and it's one of the massive things about Kent is we have an awful lot of creative businesses. But as you quite rightly identify, creative is quite a broad term, and there's a lot of things that can be classed in the creative industries.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Hilary, when do nominations open?
They open on the 17th.
Right, so on the launch night.
On the launch night. So after that, the nomination forms will be live online. Right. And the way it works is, generally, you can self-nominate, but what generally happens is a customer might nominate you or your mum.
Yeah.
We receive a nomination for the person. We then call every person who's been nominated just to check that they accept the nomination and explain what happens going forward. There's not a cost involved to be entered or anything like that. It's
that must be a bit like the Queen calling Lenny Henry this morning to tell him he had a knighthood.
I love it.
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is actually one of the best parts of my job, because you get squeals of delight, you get silence, you get you get expletives sometimes.
Really?
And I just find I get the giggles. I try to start doing it on a Monday morning because I think that's really nice, you know, get back into work.
Yeah.
Then they actually have to do some work to make the application happen.
Yeah.
And if you can't complete that application, then you really need to look at where you are in business, because it is not designed to bamboozle and confuse you.
Yeah.
It's designed to see where you're at and also where you might want to go.
Sure.
And any business owner needs to be in that position where they know where they're at now and where they want to go. And if they don't know how to get there, we can actually help them get to that next stage. But if you don't know where you're going...
Sure.
Exactly.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yes,
please
you do.
But I'm going to.
Anyway.
So what are the categories, or some of the categories at least?
Well, we do have the start-up and the home-based business.
Right.
And it's funny because some people poo-poo almost the home-based business. It's like, you really shouldn't. There are some phenomenal businesses based from home.
Absolutely.
Next to you.
Yes, absolutely. we will have trade business of the year, whereas last year it was tradesperson.
Yeah.
So more of a trade as a company.
Yeah.
We are looking at a marketing and PR category.
Right.
Breaking it down. Professional Achievement Award.
Right.
Something along the lines where someone has really stepped, you know, out of their comfort zone and really achieved something spectacular. There'll be a nominated one which was contribution to the community. We're looking for those real business champions in the county
who
have an impact on the business. It could be a life coach who's helped 50 businesses go from naught to whatever amount of money.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that's feel-good category.
Sure.
We always look at not-for-profit. It doesn't have to be a charity, but somewhere, again, they're giving back to the community.
A social enterprise or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Because these people are having a massive impact on a knock-on effect of what
Absolutely.
Some of these people do on the growth economy and economic recovery.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you look at it as a whole picture, I get really excited about this, but when you look at it as a whole picture, the knock-on effect of your business that you may be starting at home now or have started 6 months ago, in 12 months' time, you could have impacted so many other businesses.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. And nowadays, I mean, one of my favourite things to talk about, and I'm actually going to be talking about this on Friday at the Success Summit, and people don't think about this, is the world's largest taxi company doesn't own a single vehicle, Uber.
Yeah.
And the world's biggest supplier of hotel rooms doesn't own any real estate at all, Airbnb. And the world's biggest media conglomerate, Facebook, has no content. So the world has changed fundamentally. You can launch a business in your bedroom and be worth $1 billion.
Absolutely.
By the end of the second year.
Looking forward to that bit.
Launching in the bedroom sounds good to me.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Cool.
Hilary, great as always to talk to you. How can people find out more about the Kita Awards?
If you go to www.kitawards.co.uk and have a click around on there, there's information on the launch. The nominations will be up there. There's some pictures of previous winners.
Yep.
A few business articles are starting to go on there as well, so contributions are welcome from people in the know. And that's where all the information will be put.
Okay, and you can come along to the launch event, presumably, on the 17th of June.
On the 17th, you can have a look at that on kitawards.co.uk and click on launch.
Absolutely, and I'll be there.
Excellent.
So it'll be nice
too.
To see you all there. Yeah.
You're always there.
I'm at everything.
You go to the opening of an envelope,
I do.
As I've said to you before.
Absolutely. Hilary, thank you so much for joining
you,
us.
Paul.
It's been an
Cheers.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you. And congratulations on getting FSB support for the Kent Independent Traders Awards. Much well deserved. And keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And Picture Sue, we mustn't forget her. She does an awful lot in the background.
Sue Smith does all the work. We know that, really. We know that.
There.
Sue does all the work.
There.
Yeah, she's busily beavering away while Hillary's doing the front
chatting
work. Yeah, chatting to me. Exactly. We've got exactly 3 minutes left, so you're going to have to be quick with these, Jules.
23rd of June, there is a Smarter Working with RW Coaching. It is... go to rwcoaching.co.uk to find out more, or kentbusinessradio.co.uk. 18th of June, which is coming up, it's the East Kent Women in Business. Thursday the 18th of June, 6 to 9 at Cathedral Lodge in Canterbury. Details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. July the 11th, Sue Dugan returns to Kent to host Leeds Castle Classical Concert. So this is on, as I said, July the 11th. You can go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk. It's a classical concert there in the open air of lovely Leeds Castle. There is a summer business breakfast, 14th of July, and that is hosted by Rob Bennett. And this is from the Thames Gateway, -kent.org.uk. And the venue is at Bridgewood Manor Hotel, Waldersleigh Woods, Chatham. So details will be on Kent Business Radio website.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've had loads and loads of tweets, and sorry we couldn't get round to them. There are 470 outstanding tweets, which I haven't got round to reading, and we will read some of them when we can next week. But Gullens Employment, who are Gullens_HR_law, have said, "Hello, Paul. Hope all is well with you and Jules. Attached is our free facts and figures card for employers." Now, I can't read all of that out to you at the moment, so do give Gullens Employment a follow on the Twitter, and you can find out that free resource. And once again, they're Gullens_HR_law. So do check that out. Chris Pollard has tweeted in from Ireland. He's over there in Wexford, about to join the tweeting goddess, the lovely Sam Kelly, an event there.
So that's for the book launch of Miriam.
And Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight book launch.
Tales from Turkey.
Part of the Tales from Turkey. And we went to the book launch last week.
Fabulous.
At the Townhouse Hotel, where they raised an astonishing £250 for my little Kent Deaf Children Society charity.
Yes.
So thank you to all of those people and to Miriam for donating part of the money from the book sales and the raffle prizes. And
you can follow that on KDS.org and Miriam McGurk, MCG. Yeah. UIRK.
Absolutely. We've also had Your Business Community Southeast. Can you give a shout out for Herne Bay Football Club, who are offering sponsorship and advertising opportunities? And if you'd like to find out about them, you can call Andrew on 07747 114627. To find out more about that, follow YBC_S East. That's YBC_S East. And our distillers have tweeted in, the gin makers from Marden.
We were frolicking with them, weren't we, on
Friday?
We were
indeed. The lovely Andrew was at the lunch we were at with Harry Covert.
It was a scoff lunch.
It was a scoff
and
lunch.
And we did. We did scoff.
We did indeed.
Thank you to Harry Covert for that. It was great.
Yep, absolutely. We can't do any more of those tweets, I'm afraid, because we're kind of at the end of the show. Have you got anything urgent you need to read out?
No, I've done mine.
I just want to mention this, which is the lovely Julie Anderson and the folks at RAP Office Contracts. We are delighted to announce that we are award winners. RAP Interiors were award winners at the National Federation of Builders 2015 in London in May. They won the refurbishment of the year with their project at CXK at the Ashford Magistrates Court. And they also got a second prize, which is most commended for client of the year with Family Mosaic. And Julie says thank you to everyone who supported us on this project. And you can find out more about RAP Interiors by going to their website, which is rapinteriors.com. So do check that out.
Well recommended there.
Yeah. But as for us, that's been us on the campusinsradio.co.uk with a fabulous lineup of guests. It was an absolute pleasure to hear from Claire Reeve, voiceover artist, Kate Pinkerton, UK Trade and Investment Organisation, the lovely Hilary Steele from Kent Independent Traders Association. We also heard from Rift 2020. We will be back with you next week. But for now, coming up on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have Craig Avery. That's followed at 7 o'clock by Mr. Jamie Andrews with a new potato show. And at 9 o'clock,